Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Shoulder to shoulder. Go with me to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah is in the Old Testament. It's right before Haggai. Or some people are calling it now Haggai. Right after Habakkuk. See if that'll help you. Right after Habakkuk, right before Haggai. Before we completely change the service, I want you to go to the key of G, I think. We might need to go down. I just had this song on my heart tonight, or this afternoon as I was preparing for tonight. Let me see if I can still do it. Give me the key. It's an old song that, now this, you know, we do praise and worship now, and we do songs like this, and, you know, the songs that we do did tonight, you know. But now, back when I was first becoming a worship leader, this song was cutting edge. I mean, this was edgy. It's just an old song that goes, "Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Counselor, Prince of Peace, mighty God is He. Saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise His name." And I'd have people come and say, "Pastor," or they'd say, "Ronnie, why are you doing such rock and roll music?" Amen. I say, all right. Hey, how many, you know, I know that Pastor Steve probably already mentioned it, but how many of us, you know, and you kind of grew up in the Lord listening to Carmen? Amen. Well, you know he's going to be here in a few weeks. And it's going to be a Sunday night. Shh. Don't tell nobody. And it's going to be very cool. He really impacted my life. And it is just very cool to know that he's going to be here with us. Remember, tickets are $10. Now, we've taken, let me just help some of you, and you can help me. We've taken a few hits because people go, "I can't believe they're charging $100 for the first two rows." That ain't our doing. But somebody's got to pay the bills when they come. So it's $100 for the first two rows, I think $25 for the next three rows, and then $10 after that. And then if you're 18 years of age and under, Don, you don't qualify, it's free. Amen, it's free. I didn't say that you act like a baby or act like a teenager. Don, you would qualify. If you, not that you act like one, but you're under, then it's free. Because they're having a lot of people get saved under the age of 18. But they're bringing in a lot of stuff, and I hope that you make it. I hope that you're here. I would love to pack this place out. Amen. Now, you know, the largest crowd we've ever had in this church. Are you ready? It's for a funeral. 1,135 people. That was crazy. That was for Rob Phillips' funeral. But I really don't want 1,135 people here for service. But I would love to have about 700-800 people. Amen. We're going to have the sanctuary set up. So we want you to come be a part of that and be here. And just so you know, I'm going to be sitting right there. And I didn't get no comp ticket. All right? So just so you know. They didn't go, "Well, Pastor, you ain't got to pay." Or did they, Steve? Shoot. Yeah, we're still working it out. They didn't say, well, we got a couple of comp tickets for your pastors. No, I'm still going to pay too. So if you're mad, just be mad. Oh, and let me tell you this. You know, we've got, and I'm so excited about this. We have 32 people, not families, but about 16 to 18. I've seen a couple of more people signed up. About 16 to 18 families signed up for our Sunday night Peace University, which is a class on finances. And I'm elated about that. Now, again, we've taken a few hits because we're charging for that. Well, once again, it is not us. It is they're charging us $93 for each household for the packet that they're going to get. You're going to get I've got one already you're going to receive it. It's going to be great material. There's a $7 shipping fee that our church is absorbing because we want to have a little bit in it too. We want you to know that we're trying to help you. But here's what I've learned. Here's what I've learned. After 49 years of living, what I've learned is that people that don't have any skin in the game usually are not going to use it anyway. But if I pay for something, I'm going to use it because I'm that cheap. If I pay for it, I'm going to use it. And so I'm real excited about that. And I hope that you're, some people go, well, Pastor, do I need to be in it? Well, only you know that because I don't know your finances. You know, well, I'm making it. Well, I don't want to make it. I don't want to live from week to week. I don't want to do that. I want to, you know, we don't have to worry about the devil stealing some of our money. We allow everybody else to do it. We let the credit cards do it. I tell you what was so cool. We got ready to pay for, because it's $250 to get the kit that the church needs in order to host this event. Matter of fact, they have it on their website, so we may have people show up that don't even go to our church because it is a national that they offer it. So we got ready to pay for it, and we said we just pay for it with a credit card. They said no. So we don't use credit cards. I said, okay. Debit card? They said, yeah, we'll use a debit card. I said, well, the church don't have a debit card, so too bad. So I said, we'll take a check. So I thought that was kind of cool that it would be so much easier for them just to take the credit card. But they're so against using credit cards. Now, they're all for using a debit card, but they're so against using a credit card, they won't even let you pay for the material with a credit card. So I thought that was kind of cool. So, I'm very excited about that. And if you are haven't signed up, there's still a little bit of time because we start that on March 1st. I will be facilitating the first one, and then I'll be gone for a couple of weeks to Uruguay, but then I'll be back and facilitating the rest of those times. It's a, help me, Steve, is it a 13-week? Nine-week course. You'll get a certificate afterwards and $1,000. No, I'm just kidding. That's not truth. That's not truth. So, we hope that you'll, in the month of March, I'm going to preach on stewardship. Let me just go ahead and tell you. We're going to talk about stewardship in many areas other than just money, but we're going to deal with money. But I wanted to give you a tool to help you establish some habits that would help you live a fulfilled life. And I love one of the things that he says. He says that we teach you, I'm reading one of his books right now, called A Total Money Makeover. I started it last year and put it down, but I'm back reading it again. He says, we want to teach you how to live now like nobody else so that when you grow old, you can live like nobody else. I like that. You know, because all of us know people, and I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, but all of us know people who now in their older age, you know, having to live on Alpo and cat food because of they didn't plan. And we know some folks who ain't that old still doing that. But anyway, we want you to be fully prepared. Amen. Amen. All right. Who's that? Zephaniah. Amen. Zephaniah. Sound like I got a ring or an echo in here or something, Jim. So help me out some there. Hallelujah. I'm going to get to heaven. And when Jesus binds the devil, I'm going to take a soundboard and hit him upside the head with it. Amen. And I think Jim's going to help me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to hold you long tonight. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 9. Broderick, I want you to see if you can, do we have the New American Standard Version there in the computer? New American Standard Version. While you're finding it, I'm going to go ahead and read it from the New King James Version, but look for it and bring it up if you can. It says, "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him with one accord." To serve Him with one accord. The New American Standard, Jim, help me out. I don't like what I'm hearing. Cut me down or something, or check. Hear that echo? That will drive me nuts. My OCCCCD is kicking in. Amen. Zephaniah in the New American Standard Version says, "For then I will give to the people," very good, I like that, "very good, people's purified lips, that all of them may call on the name of the Lord to serve Him shoulder to shoulder." Father, I pray that You would bless the reading of Your Word. God, grant us that which makes preaching easy and effective, and that is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let us receive what You would have for us tonight in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. I know that one person and God makes up a majority. I want you to know that. You and God are a majority. Doesn't matter what the devil says. Doesn't matter what people say. You and God are a majority. And I've learned over the years that if you don't live on the people, on the praise of people, then you also won't die on the criticism of the same people. All right? We got to be careful that you don't believe all of the press that you get in the minds and the praises of people. Because the same people that will praise you one day will criticize you the next day. The same people that say you're all that in a bag of chips one day will say that your chips are stale, your cheese is moldy the next day. So you got to be careful that you treat everybody's praise almost with the same sensitivity as you do the criticism. But what we have a tendency to do is create or treat the criticism in a worse than we do the positive. And I've told this story before. I remember when our church was just started growing, we were at about 130 to 150 at the time, and two people came in, visitors, and they sent me a little note in the offering, and it wasn't a check, and it wasn't money, it was a note that said, if I would calm down, and if I wouldn't spit on the first three rows, and if I wouldn't get loud, and all this stuff, if I would just calm down, our church would probably grow. And out of 150 people there, honestly, I think it was 144, I remember, that was there that Sunday, I allowed those two people to so cause me to be discombobulated the next Sunday. It was on my mind so much out of what they said that I forgot about 142 people there enjoying themselves. Isn't that crazy? Once again, thank God for good people. Bill Gwaltney, he was one of our elders then, and matter of fact, he and I was probably about the, he's 8 years older than I am, but we were about the youngest ones in the church at the time. So we hung out a lot together. So I told him about it, and he said, let me read that. And he read it, and I'll never forget what he did. He read it, and he balled it up, and he threw it in the trash can. He said, that's where it deserves to go, Pastor. And I was like, oh man, we can't do that. You know, we got to take people's feelings. He said, listen, 142 people are really enjoying what's going on here. He said, why are you going to let the two do that? But that's what we do, right? We allow people's criticism of us to be at a place that it affects all of the good things that are going on in our lives. So here's what I've learned though, that God and you are able to accomplish great things. There's also a work that can be done with a cooperative effort of the church and are of the people of God. God wants you and him to do some things for God, for him, but I want you to understand that God is not going to circumvent his church. He wants to use you in his church, with his church, in order to be the church. Can you say amen? So the work that he wants you and I to do, we have to come to a conclusion that the work requires cooperation. That you're part of a team, you're part of a body of Christ, and my one digit, my finger can't go do its own thing without being a part of the body. And so therefore we get disconnected. I don't mean to be crude, but you know, if you have a limb that is amputated, that limb is no longer any good for any use. I'll never forget that when Ken Lee, and who is Sister Caps's son-in-law, when he had his leg amputated, I'll never forget it, that when he had it amputated and he had a very good spirit about himself, and he asked the doctor, he said, "What did you do with it?" And he said, "Excuse me?" He said, "What did you do with my foot?" And he said, "Well, I don't understand." He said, "I want it because I'm going to put it on a plaque and let everybody know that used to be my foot." And he said, "It's no use." And he said, "Well, but I think it'll be a great conversation piece." I mean, I didn't even know what to say. You know, I'm just like, "Oh, Lord." But, you know, Ken's a little weird like that. And if he was here, I would say that because he knows he's a little weird. All right? But what I'm trying to say is if it's not attached to the body, it's not going to live very long. You take anything, you take a plant and disconnect it from the root, it's not going to live very long. If you disconnect whatever away from the life force or the life source, then it's not going to live very long. And I believe that God flows through his church in more ways than people want to say. And yes, you can say me and Jesus got our own thing going, but let me tell you that if it's not connected at least to a church, then I'm not sure that you and Jesus have what going on that you think you've got going on. The work requires cooperation. From the beginning, God saw the need for joint cooperation. Here's what God said. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, Adam had everything that he desired, everything that he wanted, and there was nothing that was held back from Adam. He had communion with God, but God said, "It is not good for man to be alone." He said, God said that man needs a companionship. In the garden, he says it's not good. This did not reflect the absence of God because God was there. But what it does reflect is it reflects the absence of companionship. And I know, and I preached this morning about our heart and protecting our heart. And if you're not careful, you will get hurt into a place that you will implode and cause everything to be around you and forget everybody else. And you're so scared of being hurt again that you let nobody in and you let nothing out. And if you do, then you're disconnected from the church. Even though you're in the church, you're still disconnected from the life flow of the church. Good preaching, Pastor. People need other people. You know, I've heard pastors say it so many times that pastoring would be easy if it wasn't for the people. But you could say that about anything. Retail would be easy if it wasn't for people. Right? Working at a restaurant would be easy if it wasn't for people. You know, my wife and I and her sister went out to El Ranchito's today, and we had a good meal there, and it was good and everything. But you know, there's a language barrier there. We ordered what we ordered, and we didn't want any tomatoes or lettuce on it, and it came out loaded with tomatoes and lettuce. Mine was the only one that came out right. because I'm anointed. So, Brian, you'd be proud of me. I told him, no, sin vegetalis. No vegetalis. Take them off. So, see, senor. So they went back. Then they brought it back the same way it went back. So I told him, I said, I'm going to try Polish next time. Because they didn't understand the English. Then they didn't understand Spanish. So I'm going to try Polish and see if they can get it right. Another one came out, and I told him again, sin, no vegetales, no vegetales. Okay, see. And so they finally got it right. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm just telling you that everything would be easy if it wasn't for people. However, none of the things that we do would be rewarding if it wasn't for people. What makes things rewarding is that you interact with somebody and you cause a good thing to come. We need other people. You need other people. God, hear me closely. God did not call you to be an island unto yourself. God called you to be with people. God called you to be around people. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't call you away to steal away and be secluded and in solitude from time to time to get along with Him. But the devil loves to get you alone by yourself and away from other Christians so that you think that you're all alone, that you don't have anybody to pray for you, that you don't have anybody to pray with you. And I'm telling you that there's more power in all of us than there is in one of us. We need the power of people with the power of prayer to pray the prayer of faith. So we need people. We need other people. We need doctors. We need police. We need teachers. But we need church people. We need saved people. Let me say that again. Maybe not church people, but we need saved people. We need Christians who will pray the prayer of faith. We have been described by God as a body of parts, of many parts. What good is a hand without the fingers? What good is a foot without the toes? What good is the body of Christ? We need to find ourselves shoulder to shoulder with one another and the anointing of God. The Bible says that a threefold cord is not easily broken. Proverbs says that two is better than one. That we need one another. Well, Pastor, I just don't trust people. You need to pray through about that. You need to let God heal you from that. We talked about that this morning, of healing your heart. You need to allow God to touch you and heal you. I'm not saying that you got to get back in a closet with them, but you need to get over people. You know, at the time, my dad, when I first started pastoring, my dad gave me the best advice anyone's ever given me. And at the time, I thought he was just a bitter old man. Because here's what he said. He said, Ronnie, you need to have the heart of a lamb and the skin of an alligator. And I just thought, because I was a young Christian, I just thought, you bitter old man. You've been in the ministry too long. But now that I've been in the ministry for 25 years, oh, how smart he was. Because I'm going to tell you what, if I had the skin of a lamb, I'd get cut every week. I'd get killed about most weeks. But here's what I learned. Is that people are funny and not always in the ha-ha kind of way. Here's what I've learned. That people are God's people. Here's what I've learned. Is that God loves people with all their quirks and all their idiosyncrasies. And I'm glad He does, because He loves me with all of my idiosyncrasies and all of my quirks and all of my situations. He loves me. And what I've learned is I need people to fulfill what God has called me to do. I mean, listen, if you were going to play an instrument, the one chord is wonderful. But man, when you start putting it together, start putting the chords together, it makes a much more beautiful sound. And the same thing that happens to you and I. There are things that you and I can do independently and individually. But there's something that exponentially begins to happen, that God begins to multiply our efforts, and God begins to multiply our prayers, and God begins to multiply the things that we don't do. So therefore, you need other people. Let me give you point number two is this. Point number two is that God honors teamwork. God honors teamwork. You know, if you'll recall in Genesis when the Tower of Babel, the Bible says that God said that there is nothing that these people cannot do because they are of a mind to work. So he had to come down and confuse them with different languages in order to keep them from building a tower unto heaven. Look at the battle with Israel when the victory requires Moses to receive and to receive aid from Aaron and Hur. They come together and they held up the man of God's hands. And as they held up the hands, as long as the hands were up, Israel was winning. But when the hands came down, they were losing. And so a couple of guys said, "We can help you. We can do this." So they come along beside them and they begin to hold up their hands and begin to do the work of the ministry. And God brought victory. And you know, this, we're talking to Sunday night folk. And I told you that I didn't like people until God began to work on me. He began to work on me after I felt like I was called to preach. Because up until then, I didn't feel like I needed people, didn't like people, didn't need people. But you're going to be a preacher. I figured I was going to be an evangelist. I'd blow in, blow up, and blow out. Figured I'd come in, tell people off and leave, man. Tell them what they were doing wrong and leave. Hallelujah. Wondering why I wasn't a successful evangelist. That's the truth, man. As a matter of fact, we only ever preached one revival. Can you believe that? One revival. It was good, too. Oh, well. But here's the deal. God honors teamwork. God honors teamwork. And when you begin to pray and ask God to help you, because I said, "God, if I'm going to preach, there's a problem. I don't like people." And God began to allow me to love people. And now I get to be involved in their lives. However, now check it. God honors teamwork. And then as our church began to grow, we brought on Pastor John. You know, and then we had secretaries. And then the next pastor that we brought on was Pastor Cash. And Pastor Cash came in to do some things that was physically impossible for me to do. And that was to visit all the hospitals and do all the other things that were needed to do. But let me tell you, that was an adjustment. That was an adjustment because somebody put on Facebook one time. He went by to see this. I'll never forget the first time it happened. I told him about it. He went by to see this couple who had just had a baby. And they put on Facebook, "Oh, Pastor Cash, come by and bless our baby." And I went, "What?" Dadgum him. That's what I do. How dare him do what I do? How dare him do what I did? How dare he? Wait a minute, I'm paying him to do what I did. But how dare him do it and get credit for it? And then we brought on Pastor Steve, and Pastor Steve started taking things off me. And how dare him? I don't know everything that's going on in the church. How dare them? How dare them to make plans without me? How dare them to get anything done without me? What's wrong with them? And I'm telling you, the more they do, the more I'm enjoying it now. Hallelujah. Why? Because, listen, we were at a standstill that we couldn't go any further because one person's effort. You can only do so much. I don't care how anointed you are. There's only so much that you can do. You know, if I were to come to Rodney, and Rodney's our custodian and doing a fantastic job and a great man of God, and he is, but wouldn't it be crazy for me to come to him and say, hey, Rodney, we're going to build another 24,000 square foot building, but we expect you to keep on doing it by yourself. You know what? He would probably go, okay, because that's my job, but I'm going to start looking. do you understand what I'm saying? We need teamwork. In order to go to another level, you can only do so much by yourself. Right? I mean, you know, I always talk about this, you know, that people who have one children or one child, I mean, come on, you can double team that child. But you get two kids, then you start playing man to man. You get three kids, you go to zone defense. You get four kids, you just keep everything underneath. You just, you know, you don't let them get the long balls. When you have nine children, you just give up. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But can you imagine trying to raise four, five, six kids by yourself? You need some help, right? And the same thing, teamwork. God honors teamwork. When teams begin to come together, when people begin to come together and do the work, look at how Jesus sent out the disciples, how he sent out the apostles. He did it by two. And the report comes back of the mighty works that they did because they went out in teams. Because God honors teamwork. You know, it's amazing what you can get accomplished when you don't care who gets the credit. Look at the power of agreement in Matthew 18. And the unleashing of anointing when any two bind and loose in the name of Jesus. The Bible says where two come together agreeing any one thing, it shall be done. There is power in agreement and there's power in teamwork. And we've got to understand that power. Now, when working, point number three is this, and I'm done. When working shoulder to shoulder, God shows up. When working shoulder to shoulder, God shows up. When people come together, it's like an invitation to God to do something great. You ever watch your own children and they fight like cats and dogs, but then you find them working together? You're like, so sweet. Oh, dear Jesus. You know, since my oldest daughter is now working in St. Pete and she lives down there and my youngest daughter is in college in Southeastern and we went to do this revival in Monroe, Louisiana. They were both able to take a little time off and the other one had enough days out of school that they were able to go with us. And it was so cool because they were in the back seat and instead of fighting, they were working together. Instead of fighting, they were laughing and being friends. And I looked at Sharon and I said, are those our kids? How many know what I'm talking about? Are those our children? What did they do? They begin to work shoulder to shoulder. The Bible says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I will be in the midst. And that means when they come together for the same reason, God shows up in Acts chapter 2. All of us know that. If you're Pentecostal, you know Acts chapter 2. Let's go there with me. Acts chapter 2. I want you to read it. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That doesn't mean a Honda. That means that they were all in one accord. And let me tell you, the in Acts 2 and 1 shows the same Greek translation for the Hebrew of Zephaniah, which one accord is that they were all shoulder to shoulder. That they were all shoulder to shoulder. For when they got to the point of being shoulder to shoulder, it turned the power of the Holy Spirit loose to do a great work in the lives of everyone around them. Now here's what I want to say. The Bible teaches us that many times when the soldiers, when Israel would go out to fight the battle, they would get in rank, shoulder to shoulder. Come here, Steve. Come here, Pastor Cash. And what would happen is when you would get shoulder to shoulder, come on this side. You would get shoulder to shoulder. The devil can't really see which one's weak and which one's not. Because you're standing shoulder to shoulder. You pointing over there. Get him. He's the weak one. He's the young buck. But see, what God wants us to be, God wants us to put on the whole armor of God so that when the devil looks, he don't know which one's which. He don't know which one has the problem and which don't, because we're standing shoulder to shoulder and we're working together and we're marching together and we're doing the work of God together, and he don't know which one's weak and which one is having this problem and with this one having that issue, because we have the armor of God on and we're working this thing together. That's what God wants for our lives, and that's what the devil wants to keep you out of, is moving and working shoulder to shoulder. Thank you, guys. So when the devil looks down the line, he don't know which one's which. Which one's weak? Which one's weak? Well, you don't know, because we're walking shoulder to shoulder. We're marching in time together. We're working together. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Come here, Steve. Wait a minute, Pastor. Steve's struggling. We're walking shoulder to shoulder. We interlink. And they won't know he's weak, because I'm going to hold him up on this side. And Brother Cash is going to hold him up on the other side. And they won't even know that he's weak, because we're going to help him walk. We're going to hold him up. And we're going to do this thing shoulder to shoulder. And the devil won't even know that he's weak, because we're holding him up. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's where God wants us as a body of believers. When one is weak, that we gather around the one that's weak and we hold him up. And we say, devil, you're not going to have this one. You're not even going to know that he's sick. You're not even going to know that he's struggling. You're not even going to know that he's weak, because we're going to walk shoulder to shoulder. We're going to battle shoulder to shoulder, because that's what God has called us to do. And when we do that, his power is unleashed in our lives. Shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder. That's where God wants us tonight. Whatever you're doing, whatever you're doing for Christ, do it shoulder to shoulder. Whatever you're doing, if you want the power of God to show up in your life, then get in rank. Get in rank. Let me tell you something. If I see, you know, my wife and I, and I'm done. Let me tell others, and I'll be done. My wife and I went to New York back in, first time we went was 07, 08. I don't know. But her and I went. Matter of fact, it was 04. Yeah. So her and I went to New York. And my wife's, you know, if you don't know my wife, she loves to shop. And the only thing that makes her more happy than shopping is shopping and finding incredible deals. So she had heard about these purses that you can buy in New York, these Dooney and Burke and Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton and all these other name brand purses that you can get. But we didn't know how to get to them. You know, they're underground. And we know now. You go to Canal Street in Chinatown. That's how you go. Matter of fact, we asked the housekeeper. Hey, Larry, where do we get? She told us where to go, and you could go down here. And she says, they said, just be listening, because somebody come by and say some name brands, and you just go yes, and they'll take you. And that's exactly how that happens. So we were walking down there, I got to tell you this is a little funny, but everybody would always check me out. They'd look me up and down. I'm like, I said, I know I'm not. I said, I know I'm all right, but I know I ain't all that. I don't know why all these women and men are checking me out. They ought to be checking my wife out. She fine. Why are they checking me out? So I asked the housekeeper, I said, listen, why is everybody checking me out? She said, oh. She says, because you look like 5'0". I said, I look like 5'0". She said, yeah, you look like a New York police officer. And I said, well, all I got to do is say something and they know I ain't from around here. So, but sure enough, we went down there. And so they took us back and I was getting a little nervous because they said, oh yeah, yeah, follow me. And then we went down this alley and then we went up and then we went over here and then we went over there and we went up. I don't know where we was at. And you know, I'm thinking, oh my Lord Jesus. I'm thinking, oh my God, we're going to get jumped up in here. Not Sherry, she just. Son, she's walking it down. Come on, honey. Keep up. We get to where we're at. Oh, yeah. Hold my purse. So we get there, and then they have the secret knock to get in. These two Spanish women are standing here, and it really made me nervous because they looked at me. And they backed up, no joke. And then the guy beside us, he said, no policia. And he looked at me and said, are you a policia? Said, no policia. Or maybe I am. So anyway, we come in there. And so there are five pretty big dudes. And we're in this little room. She hands me her purse. And I try to look as masculine, as macho as I can holding a purse. And I wrap my arms around. I get my back to the wall. I've been in enough scraps. I get my back to the wall. And I begin to take stock of our situation. And I go, okay, that guy's got a bad leg. I'll take him out first. I'm not exaggerating. I'll take him out first. Then I believe I could probably knock him out. Then by the third guy, yeah, we're going to die. Because here's what I'm thinking. One, I can take care of. I might even could get two. But by the third, surely by the fourth, without a doubt, by the fifth one, we're dead. They're going to put us in an alley somewhere. And they're going to have to get a new pastor at Crystal River. Because I'm going to be dead. And the one guy says, hey man, relax. I said, I am relaxed. This is the way I relax. But I said all that to say that I realize even when you and I, we pick things out that, yeah, we might could take care of one. We might could take care of two. But I didn't have any backup. I knew Sherry could probably take out three. But she was my only backup at the time. You understand what I'm saying? And that's what the devil does. It sits there and picks us out. And the devil sits there while we're in our little church service and we're having our little praise fest. And he goes, oh, yeah, this right here would take them out. Oh, yeah. I see they're having an issue at home and it won't take much for me to take them. I need to take them out first. Oh, yeah. Over here, they're having marital trouble. So, yeah. I'll grab a hold of that and that'll take them out and this will take that now. But man, if the devil would just knew, and the devil knows whether you're a part of the herd or not. The devil knows whether you're a part of the church or not. Or the devil knows if you're on your own, doing your own thing. And honey, I can promise you that if he knows that you're shoulder to shoulder with other saints, he says, I might could take one, I might could take two, but I know that I can't get all of them. So I've got to leave the whole lot alone because they're tight and they're working and they have a teamwork and they're moving shoulder to shoulder. And that's what God wants for your life and what God wants for my life. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet tonight. I just want you to pray a simple prayer. And ask God, Lord, help me. If I'm not walking and marching in time, if I'm not marching in time, if I'm not in my rank, help me to find my place. Help me to find my position, Lord, so that if the devil gets in, he's not going to get through my spot. He's not going to come through on my watch. Lord, help me walk shoulder to shoulder with my family. Help me to walk shoulder to shoulder with my church family, so that we can be the people you've called us to be, to do the work that you've called us to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray tonight over this congregation, over these individuals, over these families. That God, if we're out of sync, Lord, I pray that you sync us. That you, Lord, not that you S-I-N-K us, but you S-Y-N-C us. Lord, sync us together. That God, that you cause us to walk in time together. So the devil can't tell which one's weak and which one's not. That the devil can't tell who's hurt and who's not, because we're walking shoulder to shoulder. That we have on the same armor. That we have on the breastplate of righteousness. That we have on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Lord, and we have our loins girt about with truth. And Lord, we have our feet shod with the preparation of peace, God. In the name of Jesus, let the power of hell be confused because we're walking shoulder to shoulder. Let the power of hell be confused that he don't know which one's which, and so he's just got to leave us alone. Devil, I come against you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You that have tried to wreak havoc on the health of the people of our church, we stand in the gap today, and we make up the hedge tonight. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And by the power of unity, and by the power of shoulder to shoulder praying, and by the power of shoulder to shoulder believing, we're believing for the renewal of the health of the individuals who are suffering tonight. In the name of Jesus, devil, take your weapons and flee. Take your flight and be gone. In the name of Jesus, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of the living God. By the Spirit of the living God. By your stripes, we are healed. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God bless you tonight. Come on, give Jesus a hand, and you're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.